Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Let's stand and grab a hymn book and turn to page 40. Page 40. Are you washed in the blood? Let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? On the last, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. What a tremendous thing to know you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Such a staggering thing as you consider it. What the cost was that we could be cleaned and be rid of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy to us. It's great to be together today. Great to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, our church family. We're thankful for the visitors that the Lord has led our way and pray. Our prayer is always that God will be pleased to make us a blessing to you and that God will be pleased to minister to every heart, every life here in the services today. What we want to do right now is get around, church family, welcome each other, welcome our visitors, please. Make sure you get around to our visitors. Amen. Let's do it.
All right, if you'll return back to your seats, let's also turn over to page something. I lost track of my notes. 468. 468. Without him.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him how lost I would be.
On the second,
without him I would be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him how lost I would be.
Please be seated. Amen. If you would, please stand with us once more. Let's turn to 327. It's either 327 or 357. 357. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work, for the night is coming, when man's work is done. Work, for the night is coming, under the sunset skies. While their bright tents are glowing, work, for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work, for the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
You may be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements while we do this. This Thursday at 7 o'clock, Pastor's Classroom's Ladies Fellowship, Miss Robin will be bringing the devotion there. And Missions Conference is right around the corner. That's going to be a Wednesday evening, Wednesday through Sunday thing. It's going to be evening services. And it's going to be 7 o'clock, Wednesday through Friday. The 22nd is going to be our Faith Promise. You look at me funny. What? Huh? What? She threw me off. Huh? Okay, there we go. Tuesday, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm glad y'all there keeping me straight. Tuesday for Ladies Fellowship. Let's back this thing up. And Wednesday through Sunday is the Missions Conference. There we go. And we got myself all miscombobulated. Faith Promise Sunday is the 22nd, and on that we'll be a Fifth Sunday type setting. And we'll be providing the fried chicken, and we'll ask everybody else bring two sides and a dessert. And don't worry about going anywhere else to get any chickens. We'll have all the chicken right here in Lake Worth. Ladies, if y'all have donated something for the baskets, please bring that to Miss Marcia as soon as you can. She's like for it this evening. If there's any new members that have not had their pictures taken for the directory, please see my wife, Miss Teresa, about that. She will make arrangements for it. And, of course, the men's breakfast is going to be the October 28th. And home builders class is also going to have something on the 28th also. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for just the time of year you've given us. It's a time of change. Lord, it's wonderful, the temperature you gave us, nice cool temperature this morning. Lord, I'm asking you to be with the offering about to receive, be with the gift and the giver. Lord, please momentarily, when the preacher comes, Lord, that's why we're here, to hear from you. Lord, please hide him behind the cross, and you give him the words to say. Give him the freedom and liberty to say it. Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, I'm going to go teach children's church here in a moment as soon as I sing this song. And I'm going to talk to them about encouragement. And this song is about encouragement. At least I view it that way. When we think of things on an eternal perspective, it brings things into focus the right way. And when we think about that sweet by and by, when we get to that eternal home, it's going to make it all the things of this world seem like a small thing. But please pray for me as I sing Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for a blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're thankful for God's mercy to us, the promises. Promises that are ours in Christ. Blessing of knowing we belong to Him. It's good again, of course, to be able to open the Word of God and trust that He's going to speak and teach us even this day. Please, if you would, be turning to Matthew chapter 5 and ask you to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God as we would read these words from the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to once again this morning begin in verse 1. It's important that we look at these, I've often called the Beatitudes or blessings, individually, but it's also important to see them in the context as God gave them to us. Matthew chapter 5, reading in verse 1, seeing the multitude, He, speaking of Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We'll be looking at verse 5 today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Father, once again, we bow before you. We're asking you in the name of Jesus that you'd be pleased, enter in by the presence of your Spirit. Please, Lord, give liberty to the preacher. Help him to declare the message that you would have here today. That indeed, nothing would be left unsaid that you would order, but Lord, not a word would be uttered that would not be from you. Father, I'm asking you that you would, by your Spirit, move through this auditorium, dealing with heart after heart, in whatever the need and the situation may be. Lord, it may be there's folks here that desperately need a word of encouragement. Please, Lord, do for them. There may be those in our midst today that are struggling and battling in some area of their life. Please give them direction. There may be some here that they need you. They need deliverance from their sin and their bondage to sin. Pray, Lord, even for those ones. Grant grace, Lord. Grant, Father, the eyes to see Jesus and all of His saving love and mercy. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, you may be seated. We read here once again in verse 5 of our chapter, it says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh my. The person that the Lord Jesus Christ is describing in these verses is distinctly different than the average person in the world we know, in the world today. But I dare say that the person that the Lord Jesus is describing is even different than the average Christian. Considering that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's speaking here, might we all declare that, Lord, deliver me from being average? Might we not seek to simply be the average? Would we openly or immediately consider that the meek will one day inherit the earth? They would one day inherit this earth. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ says that they will indeed inherit the earth. And the question, is that just a lovely little Sunday school sentiment? Absolutely not. This is a declaration from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a declaration from He that spoke this universe into existence. You say, preacher, you believe that this world was created in 6 days? Absolutely. It's what the Bible says. It's what the Word of God declares. Well, the background here of what the Lord Jesus is saying is we must keep in mind that the Jews of the first century were still watching for and waiting for their Messiah, the Christ, to come on the scene. They believed that when their Messiah arrived, that He was going to deliver them from their bondage to Rome, that He was going to see them set free from Rome, and we once again an independent nation in their Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah in their very midst, sets all that stuff aside. He sets that idea aside and He says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit this earth. Well, we see here the scriptures do indeed describe meekness. meekness. Of course, there is the world's description. If I can put this forward, the world would say that meekness is weakness. That to be meek is to be weak or soft. The old Wilbur Milquetoast idea. They would see that the world or the meek person would be that guy that got the sand kicked in his face on the beach. Well, the Word of God's description is a bit different, to say the least. God sees this idea, this spirit of meekness in a much, much different way. True biblical meekness would best be described as strength, power, authority, under control. Power under control. Get that, please. It's the idea that authority, power, strength is harnessed to be truly productive. I want us to explore that for a bit this morning. We see some biblical examples of meekness, and I'm thankful for them. More than we might be aware of, certainly more than we can deal with in this message today. But going all the way back to Abraham. Oh yes, these ones that I mentioned, for the most part, had their weaknesses, and certainly Abraham had his weaknesses. But Abraham displayed this meekness as we would see it biblically defined. What is that definition? Strength or power under control. Abraham displayed that and how he handled the situation with his dear nephew Lot. Are you mindful of that time when both of them had prospered and their flocks and their herds had grown to the place where they could no longer inhabit the same territory? They pretty much had their camps shared, they shared each other's camps, but now it was literally impossible. One was going to have to go one way and the other way. Now be mindful that Abraham was the patriarch of the family. He had the authority. He is the one that had the power to determine who was going to do what. But he yielded that. He yielded that to his worldly nephew, Lot. And essentially he told Lot, whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. It was a display of power under control. Authority harnessed. Well, let me ask you. How did it work out for Abraham? Worked out just fine for Abraham. How did it work out for Lot? Not so well, did it? As Lot found himself in Sodom. Well, another example of this power under control, a biblical example of meekness would certainly be the obvious in Moses himself. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, Moses is described as the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now that's quite a declaration, is it not? That he would be set apart as the meekest man on the face of the earth. And yet, we understand, though at the beginning he was reluctant to take on that leadership, there came the time when Moses stood face to face with the Pharaoh of Egypt, who was the most powerful man on the face of the earth, and demanded that he would set God's people free. Amen. Authority under control. As we would think of King David. King David was a mighty warrior, a valiant man, and yet he still had a spirit of meekness in that sense, that indeed, power, authority under control. When Samuel, after Saul had sinned and forsaken his place as king of Israel, forsaken his right to be king of Israel, Samuel went to David and anointed him to be the rightful king of God's people. And yet David, knowing that, understood that God had set him apart to be king, did not grasp that for himself in his own strength. or in his own might. No, David was willing to surrender. He was willing to submit and allow God to put those things together for him. David could one day declare that God had made him king of Israel. Not by his own might. He displayed that power under control as he submitted to the Lord. We come to the New Testament. You might not think of this handily, but Paul was one who displayed a spirit of meekness. Now we understand that there were times when Paul was treated shamefully by the Jews, certainly by the Romans, and even at times by churches. He was treated poorly. Yet, through it all, Paul maintained that spirit of meekness. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Apostle Paul and that in a few moments. But the ultimate, and I'm sure you understand this, the ultimate and the greatest example of meekness, power under control, was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ declared in Matthew chapter 11 in verses 28 and 29, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, who is this one that would give him rest? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jesus gives us the perfect, the ultimate example of meekness. We know, we understand that he was the Son of God and God the Son. We understand that by the word of his mouth he spoke and the universe was. The worlds came into existence. He was the one that the Bible describes that holds this very world together. And yet, he always displayed that spirit of meekness where he went, regardless of what was coming against him. And you'd say, "Well, I remember the time when he dealt with those money changers in the temple." Well, yes, he did. But you read that passage carefully, and you'll find that even then, he refrained. He controlled. He had a measured actions there. Well, that's a message for another day. We see meekness, certainly, in how he reacted to others. We see it in his attitude toward his enemies. Even though he was persecuted, he was scorned and falsely accused, he maintained his divine, almighty, unlimited power under control. My favorite example of this was that night of his arrest. Mindful of when Judas had betrayed him with that kiss. And they were looking for him and they asked him where Jesus was. And what did he say? "I am." I love that. "I am." And what happened? The whole crowd, I'm trying to say it nice, the whole crowd ended up on their backsides. And yet, in order to fulfill God's purposes and plans, he submitted himself to their arrest and their barbaric treatment of him. Huh? Power, authority, under control. Well, we also see biblical meekness defined in a sense. Biblical meekness defined. First of all, beloved, it's important for us very quickly here to see what it's not. We mentioned this a little bit before, but I want to just pose a few false ideas, I guess would be the way to describe it. These false ideas arise because of a false perception or understanding of what meekness is. Biblical meekness, hopefully we understand this by now. Biblical meekness is not something that comes natural to us. Huh? It's not something that comes natural to us. How would we respond if we had been treated like the Lord Jesus did? How he was treated. We would have rose up, would we not? I mean, I get bumped. What do I want to do? I want to bump back. Don't we? And you know, I'm always talking about those traffic situations. Look out if somebody cuts me off in traffic. Told somebody was riding with us somewhere the other day. I says, it's okay. I don't yell at them. I just give them a stern word. Oh, no, we don't like it when we're wrong. We don't like it when we perceive that. Huh? Being meek is not something that comes natural to us. But as well as we think of this, some things that we should look at. Being meek doesn't simply mean being easygoing. Some folks are just simply more easygoing than others. They're more laid back, we like to describe them. But meekness is more than that. Secondly, it's not being naturally nice. Be mindful. There's a lot of very nice people that are on their way to hell. Because being nice is not what determines whether we'll go to glory or not. It's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure all of us that here this morning that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ would also declare they know a lot of folks that are nicer than we are. Shameful way to say that. No, it's not just being naturally nice. And certainly, as we've already described, meekness is not weakness. It is not weakness. Meekness is not having a spirit of compromise. What do you mean by that, preacher? Meekness is not having a spirit of compromise. It's not the idea of anything goes to keep peace. That's not meekness. To avoid anything, to avoid an argument or a problem. No, that's not meekness either. And then as well, it's not something that is just an outward thing. That's hypocrisy. Meekness is not just an outward appearance. It's not simply refraining from reacting. Back to the traffic problem. Huh? No, Marcia, I'm not going to yell at him. No, I'm not going to cut him off. Not just refraining. Something, real meekness is something that begins here. It's an inward spirit. And as we think about that, we need then to understand what meekness truly is. Now listen to this. We want to know what it is. We need to look at the Word of God. Meekness. Meekness, beloved, is totally compatible with strength. Being meek is totally compatible with strength. Again, we read a few moments ago from Matthew 11 and verse 29, where Jesus, the one that quieted the storms. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and just find rest for your souls. But listen to this. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5, it says this, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold thy king. We don't normally would associate the word king with meekness, would we? Behold thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. Jesus displayed that meekness. Absolute. I mean, I run out of adjectives. I run out of ways to describe how can we comprehend the authority and the power of the Son of God. What did he declare in Matthew 28 and verse 18? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who is more powerful than him? And yet the description is him as our king, the king of Israel, coming unto thee meek, sitting upon an ass, the foal of an ass. You see, a true meekness True meekness does not contradict authority. It's messed with authority. It's messed with authority in Christ. Those who heard Jesus said, He spake as one, what? Having authority. Did he have to display that authority in some manifestation of his might? No, he displayed his authority in the healing of the lame and the curing of the sick, the raising of the dead, not in somehow manifesting himself in authority. No, as we see as we go on, mindful though the Bible describes Moses as the meekest man upon the face of the earth in his day, when he came down from the mount, the tablets in his hands, and sin had filled the camp of Israel, he smashed those tablets. Authority, but authority under control. The Apostle Paul repeatedly rebuked those who would compromise and pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power under control. You see, meekness is having a right spirit, a right attitude concerning self. Concerning yourself. The right attitude is expressed by a right attitude toward God. We'll never have a right attitude toward self until we're right with God. We see God right, we'll begin to see ourselves right. We see the foundation of meekness in our very passage that we read. In Matthew chapter 5 in verses 3 and 4, speaks of the poor in spirit and those that mourn. Now put this in context. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You see, beloved, the proper attitude of meekness will only be possible with an understanding of those first two blessings. Stick with me. One will not be meek until he's seen himself as poor in spirit. One will not be meek until he mourns over his own spiritual condition. It's the foundation for meekness. You see, beloved, meekness is the absence of self. Meekness is the absence of pride. We live in a culture that exalts pride. Hey, we live in Texas. Well, stick with me. We live in this culture, this society, that pride is seen as a quality, but God calls it sin. I know I'm going to rub something. The burrs are going to get sticky here. Please. God says that He hates pride. How does this all come together? Beloved, there's a difference. There's a difference in boasting in Christ and having a prideful spirit. You correct me, but I believe there's a difference in being proud to be an American and a prideful spirit. You see, the difference is self. Is self. Why? What's the root of that pride? Hey, you can be proud of the accomplishments of others. There's no self-pride in that. In what others have done. Well, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. There the Proverbs writer says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him." And the top of the list, number one, a proud look. Now put these together as I read them. Mindful, a proud look. Secondly, in Proverbs 16, verse 5, it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's some pretty strong words, isn't it? And then we come to the New Testament, in the New Testament book of wisdom, in James chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's a scary one. James writes and says, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Which side of that do you want to be on? Consider this. Now consider this. Can someone be poor in spirit, mourn for their sin, and be proud at the same time? Seems mutually exclusive to me. Seems like a contradiction. Meekness is the absence of pride. Meekness then does not promote self. I want to just read those key words from those three passages. A proud look, proud in heart, and then the resistance of the proud. What is it? What's the message there? Isn't that? That's talking about a pride of self. A pride of self. And God says that's an abomination to Him. Maybe we should reconsider this idea of pride. Pride. Meekness, beloved, does not promote self. You see, meekness is not, this would be total contradiction, meekness is not self-absorbed. Now, I'm going to say something, I'll probably get in trouble, but that's okay. Meekness is not that person that walks around, woe is me, I'm just a loser, I'm no good, I'm this and that. What's the problem there? What's still the focus? Me. You see, true meekness is when we get our eyes off of self. Huh? True meekness is when we're concentrating on how we can use that authority that we have in Christ for God's glory, that we can use what He's given us for good in the gospel. Oh my. Meekness indeed does not promote self. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, Paul right there says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Interesting. Meekness and our God. Our verse say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. It's interesting, is it not? You see, those words were true when they came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're true today. They're just as true today. And beloved, they'll remain true for all of eternity. Remain true forever and ever. They're true right now. They're true right now in this life. The truly meek person is perfectly content. He is satisfied in Christ. Notice in our passage, as you get down, let me get the right verse here. Verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Someone may object that along the way I've been saying that word blessed means to be happy. Truly happy. Biblically happy. And what does Jesus say? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. It sounds to me like He's defined His own words. We have a blessing today, beloved. Paul wrote to that church in Philippi in chapter 4, verse 19. He said, but my God shall supply all shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, what am I lacking then? What is there that I can't that can't be supplied by my Savior? So supply all your need. You see, the child of God possesses what this world can never take away from him. The child of God possesses a peace and a joy and a calm and a rest in Christ that nothing in this world has the power to take from them. The missionary martyr, I'm sure you've heard this quote before, but the missionary martyr, Jim Elliot, wrote these words. I love these words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Do good to mark that down in your Bible somewhere. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And of course, Jim Elliot gave his life to see the gospel taken to the Indians of Ecuador. Couldn't lose. He could not lose. Remember, who does this world belong to? Who does this earth planet belong to? It's not mine. It's God's. It all belongs to him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And by the way, he owns the hills. He owns it all. It belongs to him. And where are we? If you're saved today, where are you? You're in him. You're in him. And he's in you. You can't lose. We have that blessing right now, beloved. But not only right now, we have this blessing, this inheritance for the future as well. For the future as well. You see, we've got heaven promised. And not only heaven, we've been promised that we will rule and reign with Christ. Doesn't sound bad to me. My tremendous future. Tremendous future. I don't know what the stock market's going to do this week. I don't know if bombs are going to start blowing up in the world. I don't know if rockets and missiles are going to be flying. But this one thing I do know absolutely for certain. My security is sure in Christ. I know that I will spend eternity. I love that word. Eternity. With him. And nothing can take that away. Nothing nor anyone can take that away. What a future, beloved. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul's writing to that young preacher. And he says in verses 11 and 12, listen to it. He says, this is a faithful saying. He's saying, Timothy, take note of this. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Sounds pretty good to me. How can you and I lose in this thing? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, it becomes obvious. It becomes obvious that the meekness that the Lord Jesus Christ describes, as we said earlier, it's not possible for the natural man. In our natural condition, our lost condition, our condition without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's impossible to display a true meekness. But if you're saved, it is something that is your potential, not in your ability or strength, but in the Lord Jesus. Again, he that is the truly meek one. And he lives in you. Oh my. You know, along the way, for Christians, along the way, it's possible for you and I to get in a bad spot. What do you mean by that? To grow cold. Get away from the Lord. I guarantee you, if you're not walking with Christ, your spiritual condition will suffer. What do you mean by that? I believe it was last Sunday we looked at that verse, that promise, where Jesus said, if you'll draw near to me, what? I will draw near or nigh to thee. How close are you to the Lord? Are you fostering that walk with the Lord? What do you mean by that? Are you submitted, surrendered to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do with you? Are you walking with the Lord in such a way that His Spirit can speak to you, to your spirit? If you're busy about doing your own thing, that's not going to be possible. You say, well, I'm a Christian, preacher. Well, I know, but we Christians can get messed up too. We get in the place where our program, our agenda, what we consider is important and what, it takes over. And we lose that presence. Can I say it that way? We lose the presence of Christ in our life. You say, you're saying I can lose my salvation? That's not what I said. I need His presence. Christ liveth in me. But the Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 tells me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a fostering, there's a nurturing of that relationship where we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to work not just daily, not just hourly, not just by the minute, but by the moment. Lord, I need You now, right now, for this moment, for this very moment of time in my life. Beloved, the meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Christian, I challenge you, please surrender, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be able to work and lead and direct in your life in that moment-by-moment walk with Him. You see, when I get in my flesh, it's a sure sign that I'm not walking with Him. I make those, I'm going to say, fleshly decisions. It's a clear sign that Jim Turner's not walking with the Lord. And you say, well, shame on you, preacher. Well, look in the mirror. Why is it so critical? Because this thing of pride battles us all. I feel completely safe in saying this, that every person in this room, our biggest enemy is our own pride. Starting right here. Please, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but all of us. But at the same time, all of us. We need to ask Him. We need to plead with the Lord to purge us of self. Purge us of self. Purge us of our pride. And seek Him for His forgiveness. Why, preacher? So that I can get close to Him. See, I don't want anything. Now listen to me. I don't want anything to be between me and Him that would keep me from that relationship. Keep me from having Him rule and reign. Be in that complete. You see, Jim Turner won't be in control if Christ's not in control. When I say that wrong, I believe. What I mean is my pride will take over if I'm not totally surrendered to Christ. Surrendered to Him. And dear one, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please understand. Oh my, I want to be careful how I say this. The meek will inherit this earth. As we saw In verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Without Christ, your inheritance is hell and damnation. You say, that's a mean thing to say. No, it's the most loving thing I can declare to you. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon me, whosoever shall receive me, shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. I commend Jesus to you today. But Christian, please as well, please, might we see pride destroyed and purged, that we could manifest our Savior in the very best way, the meekness of Christ. Let's stand together. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to take up where I've fallen short. Father, I pray that you take your word and minister to hearts and lives. Father, across this room, I'm sure there are all kinds of needs and situations. Lord, I'm praying that your word would display the power of God, that indeed you'd be pleased by your Spirit to enter in, deal with each of our hearts. Father, I'm praying, oh God, I'm praying in Jesus' name that pride, self-promotion, arrogance would be rooted out of our lives. They wouldn't be looking for our way, but your way. Father, I pray for those, oh God, I plead with you. For those who may be in this room today that are yet without that hope of Christ, that hope of heaven. Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name that you deal with those hearts, deal with those lives. Father, again, where we've fallen short, would you be pleased to hold up your Son, manifest him before needy hearts today. And Lord, I'm asking you, please, please do those beautiful, beautiful, eternal things in hearts and in lives. Do that life-changing work that you and only you are able and powerful to do. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 115.
Thank you, Brother John. As we turn to that page and we sing the invitation song, I just pray that we would be focused on what the Lord might be saying to our hearts. It's invitation time indeed. It's important time. It's that opportunity where we can respond to what God would say to us. You know, as a pastor, there's times and, you know, I can get caught up in the flesh and wonder why people don't respond to the invitation. And I know you can deal with things right there at your seat, but, you know, there's also a concern on a pastor's heart that pride is in the way. Pride can keep folks from dealing with things that they know they need to deal with. They need to get on God's altar. He may wash, purge, and deal with those things. There's things I know in hearts and lives that people are hurting over. I'm so thankful to be able to declare that the God of glory heals all hurts, heals all pains. Please, please, dear ones, just obey the Lord. Do what He'd have you to do today. Obey Him. Obey Christ. As we sing,
I must tell Jesus.
All of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. I'm grateful that we have a God that helps. I'm glad we have a God that is able in every area, in every situation. He's able. When we're weary, when we're battling, it seems like we can't see the daylight for the darkness around us. That we can, there comes times, beloved, when all we know how to do is cling. What do you mean? I mean just cling. Just hold on. Cling to Him because He is able to sustain. He's able to do for you in the midst of your weakness, in the midst of your battle. I'm thankful that He's the Almighty. But yet in meekness comes to us. What a God. What a God we serve. It's good. John, thank you. He's been running. This sounds terrible, but he's been running the halls today. Back and forth. He was here to lead in the music and sang for us. Went and taught in children's church and back to lead in the invitation. Thank you. Come and sing.
All right, let's sing our chorus. We'll be dismissed this morning. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. You're dismissed.